the hand will change.
Thank you. And this meeting that we're having today is but a follow-up meeting from the last meeting that we had, the joint meeting on sports recreation and basic education. At the meeting, there were certain issues discussed, because I think the following day, our Minister of Basic Education signed a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Sports and Recreation. And I think what is important today is for us to know what is the status of school sports. We're going to let sports and recreation speak to us, because they're the custodian of sport and even recreation. And then when it comes to schools, basic education is a custodian of the learners and the educators. So we'd just like to know what is the status, because I know there are certain responsibilities that sports and recreation is going to have, and there's responsibilities that education will be having. And with those few words, I'd like to welcome everyone present, and I think what will be important will be introductions. Thank you. I'll give over to the minister, because the deputy minister, because you'd like to leave earlier, and he said you'd like to introduce his team to us. And before he does it, next to me, and he will be co-chairing the meeting, is the acting chairperson of sports and recreation, and I am the chairperson of basic education, Oudmalgat. You can introduce yourself, and then the minister will start speaking. Thank you. And you can just...
My name is Mkhulu Didikhatsi, commonly known as Kora. I just want to add that at last meeting, there were various recommendations which were made by members of parliament in that input which was made then. One would just want to know that how far has those recommendations been infused into this whole presentation which we are going to have now? And we will take it from there. Over to you, Deputy Minister, to introduce your team. Thank
you. Honourable Chairpersons, honourable members, good morning, and thank you for affording me a brief minute of your valuable time. Before I introduce the team, just to apologize up front, we have a cabinet committee meeting, so co-chairs, if I may be excused after this. The main reason for us for being here this morning, and I don't want to talk about the importance of school sport and the impact it will have on transformation and the outcomes and the larger pool of talent we will be able to tap into. I would like to introduce to you this morning the Director General of the Department of Sport and Recreation, assumed duty this morning on the 1st of November, Mr. Alec Moemi. Comes from the Free State, a Deputy Director General in the Office of the Premier there, comes with rich experience as DG. I'm not going to divulge all your details in your CV, but he's trained in law, be jurist, you know, so administration, BA, and so on, so MBA, so What we are having here is a DG who can protect me as a deputy minister from the legal perspective and guide the department from the administrative perspective. DG, you are more than welcome. We are really looking forward to working with you. You're in a joint meeting today with the Sport and Recreation Portfolio Committee and that of Education. Next to the DG, we have a well-known person, Mrs. Sumaya Khan, who acted diligently as acting DG and COO, and for some time also chief director. Mass participation. So she really occupied three chairs, and we would like to record our gratitude and thanks to Mrs. Khan for the diligent work she's been doing. I spoke to her sometimes late at night, and I could hear she was very tired, but you never gave up. Thanks, Sumaya. And then we have Professor Paul Singh, Chief Director, Client Support and International. international liaison, and next to him, our director of school sport, Mrs. Rini Naidu. And I don't know whether I should venture into the education people. I see Mr. Temba Kojana here, but Chair, perhaps it will be more correct if somebody else introduces the educational sector here this morning, but they are our supporters and our friends. But mainly, Chair, just introduce our new DG and to wish him well and a very fruitful tenure. DG, you are in a very dynamic area, that of sport and recreation. Thank you, Honourable Chair, people.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. What I think will be important, like I like the way you introduced him, because normally we have members say we are lawyers too. Although we can't call you our learned friend, and at least we also have like masters, etc. If you look among these people here, you'll get your master's in public administration. I'd like the department to feel that we're doing it the other way around, because normally give the members the first chance to introduce themselves, because they are the people that's overseeing the department. But because the minister wanted preference today, we allowed it. Ms. Carlson, will you introduce yourself and the official with you?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Deputy Minister. I'm Vivian Carlson. I've been asked to lead the delegation on behalf of the DG of Education, of Basic Education, who's attending the UNESCO conference, so I'll tend these apologies as well. But I'm accompanied here by Mr. Temba Kojana, who is the acting DDG for the branch responsible for school sport. I'm also accompanied by Ms. Nozipho Gulu, who is behind me, and she's the director in that same branch. Thank you very much, Chair.
Fine, you may leave. I'm just going to take the introductions from the team, the honourable members, that everyone knows, thank you, that everyone knows exactly who's here today. Then I'll hand over this meeting, because the first meeting I handled, and I'll hand it over to the acting chairperson of sports to do this meeting today. Thank you. We'll start Jan Frank, sir. Yes.
Morning, everybody. My name is Mpumzi Mtegazi. I'm a researcher for Portfolio Committee on Sports and Recreation.
The honourable member.
Morning,
Mushwana.
My name is Mushwana, member of Basic Education. And I come from the committee.
My name is Alfred Bojan, member of this committee. Thank you.
It's a joint committee today, so it's basic education.
Basic education. I come from the Kingdom of KwaZulu-Natal.
The next person.
Chairperson, thanks. Good morning, everybody. I'm Silence Makubele, a member of the Basic Education Portfolio Committee.
The name is Donald Lee. I'm a member of the Sports and Recreation Portfolio Committee.
Honorable Moni.
My name is Crosby Moni. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, Tobel.
Oh, good morning, Dumelang. My name is Grace Tseke. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Sports and Recreation. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Donald Smiles. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Good morning, I'm Sherilyn Dudley, member of Basic Education.
Nibacheroni, Zinalanga, and Fitchwera, Elder Lishiva, Maradua Committee of Sports and Recreation, Dorivo.
Mashishi AC, member of the Basic Education Portfolio Committee. Thanks, Chairperson.
Morning, everybody. My name is Molebogeng Christina Dube, well known as Grace, from Sports and Recreation Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Graham McKenzie, Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation, also from the Kingdom of the Zulu.
Thanks for that. The officials at the back.
Morning, everyone. I'm Nanyaba Matlanyana from Parliament, Parliamentary Official.
Good morning, everyone. I'm from Committee Section.
Good morning. My name is Dennis Bandy. I'm the content advisor for the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Morning, everyone. Thanks, Chair. My name is Kemba Kubula. I'm from Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good morning. My name is Marcus Kwame from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Morning, everybody. Llewellyn Brown, Committee Secretary for Basic Education.
Amanda.
Okay, good morning, Dumelang. My name is Dichakane Puri, originally from the Free State, Committee Secretary, Portfolio Committee on Sports. Thanks.
So you know more the CEO. Right. Thank you. I just want to request the members of the Portfolio Sports and Recreation after this meeting just have to and another 5 minutes. Thank you. Can we start? I don't know who's going to kick off with the presentation. Should we have sports first? Or can we have then sports? I think the DG is ready. It's more than ready to start. Over to you, DG. Can you just press so that you can be recorded? So.
Thank you, Chairs, honorable members. The presentation we're putting before the committee today is a joint presentation, which also is a follow-up on the earlier presentation that has been made. The comments and recommendations made by the committee at the last meeting have been taken into consideration, and both departments have sat and worked on the joint presentation, which we'll be putting here today. Of importance is the fact that we are presenting here while we are on the eve of launching school sports program on Saturday, the 5th November. This will be done at the University of Johannesburg, Soweto campus, on this coming Saturday. And members of the portfolio committees, both of them, have been invited. And we are also presenting this after we have had a joint briefing session with all the key stakeholders involved in school sports. This included teacher unions. It also included school governing bodies, federations in sports, school sport code committees that have been established for this purpose, provincial departments, and many other partners who have been part of the process. The consultative process has been quite successful, and the concerns as well as the inputs by all the relevant partners have been incorporated into the work that we would be presenting today. We have not necessarily, co-chairs, signed the MOU as yet. Our two ministers and officials would be signing the MOU as part of the launch on Saturday in Soweto. And we are looking forward to the process. The launch will necessarily entail exhibition games by approximately 600 learners around Soweto. It is an opportunity for us to showcase the state of readiness to roll out the entire school sport processes. And in this regard, we would then incorporate every other thing in the presentation. I'm going to hand over to my colleague Sumaya Khan, who would take the joint portfolio meeting through the presentation and all relevant aspects, and we would then jointly with basic education respond to any other questions the committee may have on us. Thanks.
Thank you very much, co-chairpersons, members, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Chairperson or joint chairpersons, the report was circulated to the members sometime last week, and I'm going to go through it, not necessarily word for word, but highlighting the key issues that we need to articulate and to apprise the committees of. Chairpersons, as an introduction, I think we're all aware that on the 22nd of June, the Ministers of Basic Education and Sport met and discussed the school sport planning framework. This was approved, and the two departments were further requested to develop an action plan in realizing the objectives of the planning framework. The draft MOU was presented to the DGs, it was amended, and it was finalized. A task team, an interdepartmental task team that's in place, met on the 23rd of June to consolidate the document and to agree on the plan of implementation. The plan outlines the responsibilities of each department as agreed to in the planning framework. And if we have to look at the responsibilities, co-chairs, there are joint responsibilities that sport and recreation and basic education will take on. And then there are very specific responsibilities assigned to each of these departments. In terms of the joint responsibilities, both departments would develop the training materials for educators. Both departments will facilitate capacity building programs for educators. Both departments would develop a concept document on infrastructure and equipment addressing issues of redress, sharing of facilities and access. In terms of specific responsibilities of each department, the Department of Basic Education would be responsible for finalization of the school sport policy, establishing school sports committees and support these committees at all levels to deliver school sport leagues, ensure the delivery of well-organized intra and inter-school sports activities. The Department of Sport would finalize the guidelines for agencies supporting the delivery of school sport. Together with the provincial governments and federations, identify talent at inter-district school tournaments for further development through the academy system, assist the national federations in the hosting of national junior championships, host the National Junior Olympic Games biannually in conjunction with SASCOC. SASCOC is a South African Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee, to serve as a feeder system for the IOC Youth Olympic Games, which is held once in 4 years. To develop a concept for sports-focused schools, develop a 5-year competitive school sport plan with federations, develop a 5-year capacity development and training program for educators in code-specific skills, and develop a school sports calendar. We've already heard about the MOU, chairpersons. It has been drafted capturing those roles and responsibilities as we've agreed to in the plan, as well as the communication protocol. The draft school sport policy, the Department of Basic Education has revised the school sport policy, enriched the document with the approved planning framework. Both the ministers met to discuss the policy process, including submitting the policy for public comment, as is legally required. The consultation process, on the 9th and 10th of July, the Department of Basic Education met with all its stakeholders, provincial departments, teacher unions, school governing bodies, the school's code structures and partners, to discuss the integrated school sport framework. This framework was also presented to the provincial departments of sport and to the MINMEC as well. And furthermore, Sport and Recreation and the Department of Basic Education convened a joint stakeholders meeting at SASCOC offices on the 20th of October. And in this meeting, again, there were all the stakeholders, both jointly from sport and from education. A task team was established to develop guidelines for the establishment of code committees, the school sports code's 5-year plan, the draft 1-year calendar, and the strengthening of school sports leagues and partnerships. With regard to the school sports league, the advocacy started in January in 4 sporting codes. There are almost 3,000 schools that have already registered and are preparing for cluster tournaments. The province is already preparing for cluster tournaments. The national leagues have been, the national launch of the leagues and the distribution of donated sports material was halted to give way to the political mandate of developing an integrated school sport plan. The federations have worked jointly with, there are interim school sports committees in place, and federations have been jointly working with these code committees to prepare the national codes development plans that are inclusive of school sport. The whole idea is to have an integrated plan, a development plan for the whole country that includes school sport. All code development plans are aligned to the long-term coaching development plan, the long-term participant development plan, and the South African Sport for Life plan that are now regulatory instruments developed by Sport and Recreation South Africa and SASCOC. And we'll articulate to that later, Mr. Chairperson. Code plans are exclusive of the national school leagues, capacity building, talent identification and development. Coach training, whilst the key focus for the school sports league is the provision of a progressive competitive structure and a mechanism for identifying talent, it's very, very important for us to retain this appropriate balance between play, practice and competition for children and youth. This has to be supported by suitably skilled coaches that have the ability to guide the improvement of children and youth in line with their need and the stage of development. To deliver on its mandate, Sport and Recreation South Africa will roll out the new South African coaching framework as a pilot targeting educators from 2011 to 2014. The process will be coordinated by SASCOC through a service-level agreement with Sport and Recreation South Africa. 16 federations have been identified to participate in the first phase of rollout on condition that they meet the set criteria. Sport and Recreation South Africa will support federations to launch their coaching programs nationally and provincially. And, Mr. Chairperson, there is a coaching conference that will be taking place with, from the 18th to the 20th of November, where the whole SA coaching framework will be launched. Training of educators. A massive media campaign will be launched to popularize the program amongst the public to invite their applications. Advertisements will be placed in all the national and local newspapers to invite trainers and coaches. All trainers and coaches will be put onto a database and they will be tracked. The process will be monitored by the Human Sciences Research Council and an impact report will be tabled annually. If you look at some timelines, Mr. Chairperson, from January to July 2012, we'll have the master's training at a national level that focuses on 48 educators and volunteers from the schools and communities. The senior trainers will take place at a provincial level between April and December 2012, and those are the numbers that are targeted. The district trainers in all 53 districts, this will take place from October 2012 to March 2013. Assistance coaches level 1 at district levels will be trained between February 2013 and 2014, and a level 2 coaches will be trained from February 2013 to December 2014. And if you look at it, you've got 21,200 coaches in the level 2, 25 per district in 16 codes of sport. And then further levels will be determined at a later stage. But, Ms. Chairperson, this shows out the rollout of coaches at all levels in our five-year plan. The National School Games, the base document has been developed. It's being workshopped with key stakeholders for input. Inter-school leagues will culminate in district school games in the 53 districts coordinated by the municipalities, the provincial departments of sports, Department of Basic Education, federations, school sports code committees, Love Life, and the Department of Health. Selected athletes will then participate in a national school games of international quality coordinated by Sport and Recreation South Africa, SASCOC, and the sports federations. The national school games, selected athletes at the national level will go on to participate in federation events. Athletes at the district and national levels will be given talent support. And there, Mr. Chairperson, you can see that in between all of the leagues, there are various competitions that will take place as well. On the next slide, Mr. Chairperson, it gives you all the different games and what will happen. You've got the National School Games, which will be delivered by Sport and Recreation South Africa, SASCOC, and federations. Athletes with talent are offered scientific support by Sport and Recreation South Africa and the federations. The District School Games, the ward teams compete annually. This is developed by a local organizing committee that has representation from municipalities, the provincials, departments of sport and recreation, departments of basic education, health, your federations, your school sports committees, Love Life, and then your inter-school leagues at ward level. It's delivered and coordinated by the Department of Basic Education, the school sports code committees. It also includes the training of coaches and umpires, technical officials and volunteers. Athletes with talent are selected to represent the ward at district level. And then you also have the selection of coaches, umpires, and technical officials that will support these ward teams. The work with the stakeholders, with SAFA, the school sport unit, working jointly with SAFA to develop a model for the rollout of the grassroots development football program as part of the FIFA legacy program. This is work that has been ongoing with SAFA. And the program is being aligned to the SA coaching framework and the long-term participant development plan. These plans and these programs are now going to become the regulatory framework for school sport going forward. Love Life, at various meetings, at various interactions with the portfolio committee for sport and recreation will recall, there's always the issue of what is Love Life doing, and I think we have reported at the last portfolio committee that we have now started working with Love Life. Workshops have been conducted to align the business plans to those of the school sports business plans, and from the new financial year, all programs will be fully aligned. Love Life will be supporting the training of educators as well as providing volunteers for all the proposed district and national games, including all the federation's events. I have spoken about the long-term participant development support. In supporting the delivery of inter- and intra-school league programs, SRSA will engage SASCOC and sports federations to develop guidelines for the delivery of code-specific competitions and leagues, taking into consideration the contextual factors that often impede delivery. Make available skilled personnel to identify talented athletes and officials, as well as mentor and support coaches, umpires, and technical officials. Advise on varied competition formats for inter- and inter-school competitions, and which are age and stage appropriate. Enable young disabled people to participate in regular competitive sport and to develop meaningful competitive opportunities as part of the sports pathway for young disabled people. The school sport launch, Chairpersons, I think we have already, the DG has already spoken about this. The launch will take place on Saturday the 5th of November at the University of Johannesburg campus. And we have what the program that will take place, which the DG has already spoken about as well. The way forward, implementation of the recommendations as outlined in the plan. The MOU has been developed supported by a program of action. We are preparing for the signing of the MOU by the ministers at the launch. The school sport policy and the guidelines on the implementation are being finalized. Department of Basic Education, the minister, will publish the school sport policy for public comment. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We will take questions, and in terms of the responses, I think our colleagues here will also assist in responding, as the DG has indicated. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you, Mrs. Scott. I'd like to find out from Basic Education if they have anything to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have nothing to add. It's also joined.
Thanks a lot. I'll hand over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Honourable members, there is the input from both departments. Can you interact with it? Honourable Mponzana, Honourable Muswana, Honourable Smiley, Honourable Dube, Honourable Mackenzie, in that.
Thank you, Chairpersons. Before I put my one question, let me preface it by welcoming the presentation, because I was a little bit taken aback. Was it yesterday? Yes, when the Minister for Sports came out in the public media announcing what's going to happen in school sport, he'll be consulting various departments, and just wondered what was happening. So that's why we welcome this presentation today. My question is just a simple one. The intention, the objectives are very good, but I just want to argue that its success depends on financial resources. Is it possible, not necessarily today, but to cost all this that has been presented to us, and to see whether, financially speaking, these objectives will be realizable? Because I look at the plan, I don't see, perhaps it has escaped my attention, the infrastructure development in our schools, because as we speak now, go to our schools, sports ground and whatnot, are nearly non-existent. Thank you.
Honourable Mushwane?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I would also like to applaud the fact that we are seated with a report in front of us. And the first question that I wanted to ask was covered, but I just want to emphasize that we need sports grounds in our schools. And actually, if you introduce new sports codes, in most schools, especially in the rural areas, they don't have this. So that is that taking. We need definitely to know for sure that there will be the facilities for this to get off the ground. And your breakdown on these flights, I don't know how to number them, but it's under school sports leagues. I note that to date almost 3,000 schools have been registered throughout the country. And actually, we are here if you talk of throughout the country. But 3,000 throughout without the exact breakdown may be misleading, because you may be having 1,000 from Western Cape, for example, another 1,000 from Gauteng, and maybe the others. So that we need to check if this is taking off on the same level, because it would be very important to note that one. And you are dealing with the skills. I wanted to check the skills of the educators. But of course, you are saying you are going to take off. I think as you unpack, I realize that you'll be doing that. But we are at November now, and your training of educators, this rollout will start from 2011 to 2015. It's November 2011. Can we be told how far you are? Because if you are going to start, you are going to, like you have not yet started at November, then maybe you have not started. Just an assurance from you that yes, you have started and this is how far you have gone. And my next question is on, if I get it. Yeah, your school support loss again. You talk of 600 primary schools. This question is related to the other one. 600 schools throughout the country, of course, that work exactly. Are we able to know how this is taking off so that when we visit, we are able to check if these schools are taking this seriously? Because sports will be very important for their mentality. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Smiley.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just acknowledge the sort of good intentions of the chairperson calling me Smiley. I like it very much.
Sorry.
Actually, Smile.
Smile.
Yeah, but Smile is very nice.
No, like, no, there's a person who bombarded me with SSS and his name is Smiley. Sorry, man.
Yes. Chairperson, yes, I was covered by my colleague, Honorable Mbochana, with regard to the budget for school sport. I think we need to have that kind of information very urgently. But whilst I'm on the budget, I would like also to know, you know, the private sector, their involvement. currently, I'm aware of rugby, the F&B classics, where they sponsor, F&B sponsor those classic games between high schools. So that part of the private sector will be important to know. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Smiles, Honourable Dube.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thanks to the presentation. My first comment, Chairperson, will be the numbering of slides. We struggle to ask questions around them, but on the memorandum of understanding, it's difficult for us to know when people say it's a draft, but there are no time frames. You know, if we want to work, I think we also need to check the time frames, because some of these things in most cases are indefinite. The second question is around district. When they say 53 district, some of us give feedback to our communities. If we can maybe, not even maybe today, get a list of those districts, where are these schools and how are they selected? If others are left out, what's the reason for that? And given the participation of the launching, who is invited and the criteria that was used to invite people to those, like the launching of on Saturday, whatever we launch, how do we select people, like when we talk of governing school bodies? Do we invite nationally or provincially or regionally or maybe locally? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I'd like to thank both departments for coming up with this plan. I think it's a good start. Maybe a little bit short of specifics, but a good start. At the last meeting, I asked about what role academies could play and assisting both learners who would be participating in sport and teachers and educators to help with the coaching. Because these academies, whether they be cricket, rugby, football, whatever, across the country, have literally hundreds of very talented pupils who can assist with coaching, and I see nothing in this document about that. Further, Model C and private schools have a reputation of excellence in sport, but they only represent a very tiny minority of our school-going children, but they have fantastic coaches and everything, and I don't see any, my colleague mentioned the private sector, and I'd include this possibly in that. Are they being consulted? Are they getting out there to help? Because I'm sure a lot of those educators would like to help. And then other groupings like SA Legends and the sports federations themselves, because I noticed that Love Life is going to help with educators. How does Love Life, with respect, help someone teach rugby or cricket or netball or whatever? So I think it's better if we get the actual people who are qualified to do it. That is my first point regarding educators.
under the task team, you've got in this page, you say develop a concept on infrastructure and equipment addressing issues of redress, sharing of facilities and access. I'm particularly interested in sharing facilities. What progress has been made in sharing of facilities, and could you tell us where those are? Because one of my colleagues has mentioned that there are no fields, there are no facilities, or very few, and that needs to be sorted out. So I'm just paging through here, just if you could bear with me. Right, on the consultation process, you mentioned that provincial departments, teacher unions, school governing bodies, etc., have been consulted. I'd like to know what the reaction of the teacher unions were to educators now giving up more time, and are they in support of the school program? Right, under school sport leagues, it says that school leagues have been developed in 4 sporting codes. I'd like to know which codes. All right, coaching training. I've touched on some of the people who I believe could really make a massive impact and a dramatic impact right away. And so I think we need to look at that very carefully. Almost at the end, Chairperson. I've discussed love life. I won't go further on that one. Thank you. Now feelings on that particular issue. Thanks, Chairperson. I think that covers me. Thank you.
Honourable Makubalo, followed by Honourable Masisi, and then Honourable Lee. And then Honourable Mon. Eh? Yes, thanks.
Chair, just in case that may be repeated, it's Makubele. Yes, but I'm quite sure you were not going to repeat that. I just have got one broader question. Of course, there may be other aspects related to that. When you look at the report, probably the MOU spells out quite well as to what should happen. But from the report, you can have a conclusion safely that says sport will be the lead department. And if not, that's not the case, you can as well outline that. But I'm drawing that conclusion that even as perhaps we talk of the interdepartmental task team, I take it that a task team is something that at some point concludes its work, and therefore you must have another way or mechanism that takes you forward if indeed the task team will conclude. Now, I take it within the memorandum of understanding there are mechanisms built in as to how that will run, so that you don't have a situation at the end of the day where there's some tension and some, not necessarily fighting, but you know, where people at some point want to protect their turf. You know, if that is not built in, we may need to be assured that you won't have something like that. For instance, if you have the school's sport league, probably it will be run mainly by sport, or whether it will be education, but if it's sport, it means at some point you must have the lead department coming to assert its authority and what is it? Either giving instructions, or like it will be sport giving instructions to teachers to saying this is what's supposed to happen and so on. But I'm not quite sure. I'm saying if the memorandum of understanding addresses that quite well, then we must be assured sitting here that we won't have these programs at some point failing, not necessarily because they are not having good intentions and objectives, but simply on personality, you know, clash of individuals. And at the end of the day, it's not clear how do you unlock that kind of a situation in case there's to be an impasse of some sort. Thanks.
Thank
you, Shepherdson. I have two questions. And thanks for the input that have been made. I just want to check from the love life. My colleague asked a question about it.
I don't know whether I'm going to repeat it, but we'll just check Chairperson. I just want to know, how is LoveLab going to provide volunteers, as the presenter was saying, and how will you know that those volunteers are the relevant one? And my second question is based on the coach training. We know that sports was male-dominated. I want to check about the gender and the people living with a disability. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Lee. Chairperson, the previous speaker said, you know, she doesn't want sort of to repeat the question about Love Life and whether she should ask a question. The question about Love Life. I am going to ask a question about Love Life. All I want to say, first of all, thanks very, very much for the presentation. All I want to say about this presentation, Chairperson, you know, we've heard about Love Life, all these things, but for this thing to be successful, you need the teachers to get involved, Chairperson. Without teachers, this thing is a dead duck, Chairperson. And therefore, they must be involved in forming these unions. It should be their unions. You understand, Chairperson? Should be their things for our kids. And that is how it worked in the past. That is how it worked in all countries, Chairperson. That is how it works, Chairperson. And therefore, if you don't get the buy-in from the teachers, then you won't be successful. It's not only a case of all the unions, too. You understand? Get the teachers involved, and with them the coaches and all these other things will happen, Chairperson. But if you have Love Life involved, we've been trying for 5 to 6 years to just get them to come and report to what they are doing. And you know, we were unsuccessful. I hope you'll find Love Life somewhere along the line. And if you find them, bring them here, please. So it's good to have SASCOC involved. They are sort of the mother body. But again, Chairperson, they are out of the school, sort of. You understand? Get the school people, get the buy-in from them, and then I can assure you this thing will be successful. Thanks. Honorable Mani?
Thanks, Chair. I also wanted to add my voice to those who are appreciative of having received the report. My first question relates to, or is, as follows. Is the sports calendar or sports program up to 2015, inclusive of disabled children or youth? My second question relates to rural areas. What specific rural areas are part of these initiatives? I'm asking this question because it's in the rural areas that nothing has been happening ever since the advent of democracy in our country. Is there anything specific now, 17 years into democracy? Lastly, are all the sports codes that are under consideration now inclusive of women? I'm thinking of women's soccer, women's rugby. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Chairperson. Just a small follow-up. I meant to say that under long-term participant development, I was very pleased to see that they are going to develop meaningful competitive opportunity for young disabled people, and I think we've touched on it, but that's a huge thing. And I think if you look at the success of some of our disabled athletes, they've led the way, but it's fantastic to see that you've done it, so I'd like to commend that. And also, Chairperson, I just guess that Donald Lee has a very successful Love Life. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. I'm going to ask a question, but I wouldn't like to take on with the Honourable Lee, because I'm now wondering what Love Life is this when it comes to the Honourable Lee. My question, I know something, but I don't know something too deeply. When it comes to him, my question would be to the education department: when are we going to introduce physical education teachers into schools? Because I think that was part of our meeting, the last meeting, and that is an important first step.
Then the other is when it comes to local government, our municipalities. I believe that when it comes to sports and even school sports, that it is the municipality's duty to maintain those fields. Like we'd already heard, some schools don't have sports grounds. Some schools have space for sports grounds. You have schools within schools where there's nothing. So I'd like to know what will be the involvement of the municipality. Don't speak about the MIG to me. Speak broader. And then the other question is, you have 3,000 schools registered. And to me, that is going to be a pilot then. Because remember, we have 27,000 schools in South Africa. So how are you going to encourage those schools to be part of these games? Because if you think about registration. Then when it comes to our teachers, teachers are very important, the educators. And I'm just going to link on to the Honourable Lee's question. Because there is a different setup when it comes to the educators now in the Department of Basic Education. Like when we were teaching, this was our extramural activity. And every teacher, you know, when you applied, then you you said you'll do X, Y, Z. They called it X, Y, Z. But the case is not that today. So how is this going through the bargaining council? Because this will have to go to the bargaining council. And I think it's going to be important for you to speak to that. And I got the teachers, the amount of learners. I'm going to round up the meeting later on, and there are a few things that I noticed on the presentation that I would like to speak to. You know, that when you come to the next meeting, that we should have it in place. Thank you. Over to you, Jay.
Thank you. Can we have some responses? And I also have a list of groceries here, which I want to... But can you come first?
Thank you very much, coaches.
Coaches, thanks. I would respond to a few of the questions put forward, and my other colleagues would also respond to the other questions that have been put forward for us. The first key thing is in respect of the success of the program and its linkage to the need for sports grounds. I think I agree with the Honourable Malchas that indeed the municipalities play a critical role in respect of the provision of facilities. But however, as it is known, and from the audit that has been conducted by the Department of Sports and Recreation, it is a bit about 3 years old now. We need to re-update it and see what has transpired since the last audit has been done on the facilities. But the state of affairs is really unpalatable, and what we had sought to do and which the Department of Sports and Recreation has planned is the sports endeavor at which municipalities will also play a critical role in respect of the discussions that will unfold. But already engagement has been undertaken. We are already again in the process of revisiting the audit of the facilities across municipalities and to see what is available. The key issue that still remains a challenge is on the issue which the Honourable Mackenzie raises of how will the sport facilities be shared. I think that this is a key issue because schools that do not have facilities at all and where even by design and terrible urban planning, where they are located now, they are surrounded either by other properties and other land, which makes it impossible for expansion purposes and for purposes of delivering sporting facilities for them, remains a key challenge which municipalities have got to overcome in terms perhaps in other instances by deploying different instruments.
key amongst our engagements with municipalities around the issue of rezoning some of the areas and providing land for facilities, particularly in areas where the schools are not clustered and they are not close to each other. But where schools are closer to each other, the intention really is to make sure that those schools can share the same facilities and that greater collaboration happens there. The key challenge remains with private as well as Model C schools, which have the best facilities, and their location vis-a-vis township schools. And secondly, the bigger challenge remains the accessibility for township schools to those facilities. And these schools, with private schools, it's even a greater challenge because of the autonomous nature. But with Model C schools, the Department of Basic Education has some leverage to influence. However, as the Schools Act provides for, the governing bodies themselves are quite key. And now let me move. And so this issue of the facilities, and particularly where they are non-existent, is a challenge. I'm going to link this with the question raised by the Honorable Annie in respect of provision of facilities in rural schools. I think, or in rural areas generally. As you may have seen, a few provinces have began the rollout of multi-purpose sports courts in various rural areas. And working jointly with the Department of Rural Development, there's been a pilot rollout in various areas. And where the presidential visits have gone, those multi-purpose sports courts have been rolled out, and you see that they promote a plethora of facilities. I think the other key challenge is that in the provision of facilities, municipalities do not necessarily have common guidelines about how they go about it. Each council currently has its own bylaws as it respects to how it rolls out the facilities. It is an area we as sports and recreation needs to look into quite well, because in communities that are quite small, it is if you look at the population size vis-a-vis the number of teams that could emerge in that locality and the type of sporting codes that are there, diversity is immediately limited, and consequently you are then required to provide on a smaller scale what is commensurate with the population size. That in itself inhibits talent, because it compels youngsters in that specific area not to explore the different and multiplicity of sporting codes, but only to focus on those sports where the facilities are available or are being provided. And I think in itself is a challenge, because we are a developing country, and a majority of our cash-strapped municipalities, particularly in the smaller, poorest provinces, remains a key challenge that has to be overcome. And as you are aware, this still remains the forte and the territory of the municipality, and we can only but provide guidelines and influence them and lobby more strongly for them to do this. Let me then move to the issue which has been raised, which is quite key, of the financial resources. The Honorable Mponjwana indicates that the intentions are quite noble and good, but if the funds are not available for this purpose, and then we are virtually heading for failure. The key issue is that, as you may have seen, we are intending to roll out on an incremental basis. For the current and the next financial year, we have separated the responsibilities in terms of our two departments. And the responsibilities that we, Sports and Recreation, have, we have provided a budget for those responsibilities for the rollout in the current MTF cycle. And we believe as well that Education has provided the same for their responsibilities as per our agreement, and that their funds for the targeted rollout up to now would be sufficient. Certainly, if I link this with the question that has been raised by the Chair Malkas, Honorable Malkas, that this sounds like a pilot on the basis that we've got 27,000 schools. Indeed, we are on an incremental path. If we were to take on the entire 27,000 schools, I think a number of challenges emerges almost immediately. First and foremost, capacity of not just of our two departments, but of the country as a whole to be able to take up on such a massive scale, financially as well as human resource capacity and technical capacity. We would not have that, and we would not have the ability to do it almost immediately. I think the school sports offers us an opportunity to serve as a catalyst for us to be able to venture and build the capacity as we go. And the formalized training that we have presented at the different levels at least provides us with a basis to kickstart the process right now. But we certainly, as we stand, even with the academies that all exist, and even with all the volunteers that are already in the field, even with the federations and even with all the expertise among coaches within the schools and even in the Model C private schools, that capacity is still not enough to be able to go to a large scale, because you have many township and rural schools where virtually no sport is being played and where no teacher seems interested due to the conditions that the chair has outlined. Let me move to the inclusion of disabled athletes as well as the inclusivity of women, and specifically whether we are looking at the inclusion of female-specific sporting codes. I think the answer is yes. We have taken on the responsibility and recognition that inclusivity of sports, particularly among the disabled learners, becomes quite key. Our intention is to infuse, not necessarily have standalone sporting codes for this purpose, but to infuse the participation of disabled learners into the chosen sporting codes and to encourage federations through incentives to also ensure that disabled learners get into this. The demarcation in terms of the regions and whether we're leaving any regions behind. Honorable Mushwana, the 53 districts are the districts as demarcated by the Municipal Demarcation Board. And these districts are there. They are already there. The intention really is to make sure that there is fair representation across. However, we have to contend also with practicality. Practicality in the sense that if we are to launch and to start, emphasis would be on the availability of the facilities to do the job. If the facilities are virtually non-existent, it becomes impossible in that specific locality to run. However, those schools can still participate at a different level. You may have seen that we have intermittent competitions in between, and we are targeting the issue of talent scouting by going out into communities and having talent scouts to visit the schools and to see. So basic education will have to follow through and have open days where even schools that do not necessarily play sports have access once in a while in a community stadium or whatever to undertake this. I think in the past you may know that while many township schools did not have this, but there used to be so-called athletics days where youngsters are taken by bus to a specific locality and they are encouraged to run, and the ones that outrun the others gets to be selected to go to a district competition and so on. I think this is how we would try and get talent from schools that do not necessarily have the facilities in poorer districts to also not be left out. But practicality insists that the emphasis for now would be where the facilities are already existent and to couple the rollout of the facilities, like I said, with municipalities and to lobby them and to also make sure that the poorer provinces are supported in the rollout of the multipurpose courts with the limitations that are there, obviously. Let me move then to deal with the issue of love life. I see it's a thorny issue. However, Love Life is currently the only organization outside major federations that runs a successful national games, the Love Life Games. Well, I think it is arguable, really, because in the absence of the absence of anything that has been happening, and in the absence of a national rolled out program, you have difficulties. I think LoveLife presents us with two important opportunities, which, with all the difficulties the LoveLife games are having, but which must not be missed. I think first is scale, is the fact that they already have exposure of working with school children, and the exposure and the difficulties that LoveLife brings to this pot essential lessons, particularly about the failures and what not to be. And I think this is what, as the two departments, we can learn greatly from, not to repeat the similar mistakes that may have happened with the LoveLife games. However, LoveLife has to be judged on the basis of really moving from a scale of zero, because prior to the LoveLife games, there's really no major schools games that have been running. And in provinces such as the Free State, LoveLife had been contracted to also do the Oliver Tambo games, and which the department there, through the funding, has been quite happy with the rollout of the Oliver Tambo games at that large scale. So that's why I'm saying that LoveLife also has a talent scouting thing which we can tap into, because for quite some time they have been going out to communities, not just in sports, but also in arts and culture. So they have been having talent scouts all around. And I think that if we do not destroy, but build on what we have, and we pull in the resources of everybody who's an interested role player and who's a participant and who is having willingness to work with us, rather we follow that route with all the challenges that we acknowledge exist with the LoveLife games. But however, this one saying that if you move from a scale of zero and you really have nothing, the only person who has been there is like an entrepreneur that has failed in business. Some of them are contracted by TUSO mentorship scheme, Kula, and some of them has been proven that they are quite the best mentors, because they know what not to do, indeed. So I think this is the lessons what we can draw out of the failures of the LoveLife games. Let me move to the issue of the centrality of teachers as well as SASCOC being key in terms of what we are doing. Indeed, we acknowledge that the teachers are quite key, and I think you have seen that our intention of looking at the training of the teachers at the different levels, professional levels in coaching, and so on. The major target is with the teachers, followed secondly by the sporting community outside the schools, and who are volunteers and who are interested in doing the work. There's two key things here, and which I will link with what the Honorable Malthus raised in respect of the bargaining council. I think there are models we can borrow internationally to make this work. Yes, indeed, ultimately it's a matter that the teacher unions will have to agree to, and with the bargaining council will have to agree on the varied job profiles as well as the varied workloads that teachers must have, including what the Honorable McKenzie raises with respect to the introduction of the physical education teachers in schools. If you look at the system done by of the 52 states in the U.S., at least 41 of them are having the same system. You have what they call the school coach. The schools are not necessarily a plethora of trying to be everything and trying to be a rugby school, a sports, a soccer school, a netball school, and so on. Most of the schools focus on one sporting coach, and they get to excel. However, I think we have to look at the dynamics, because their population size is quite huge. So even if some schools focus only on American football and others focus on soccer, they still have the volumes to be able to have nationwide competitions. So this is an issue we have to balance as a developing country, and the number of schools we have, and to see to what extent does that enhance our potential to do so. And I think even here at home, we can borrow from some of the models. For a lack of better models, I'm going to choose one that is also struggling, but which is a good concept, the Dinaledi schools, in recognition of the fact that we cannot have all enough science teachers as well as mathematics teachers
the decision has been made to concentrate on fewer schools that would have the best teachers in mathematics and in science and to be able to produce the good learners. I'm sure you know the results don't really speak to the intention. However, it is a good concept, and we think that we can borrow such model in sports where some schools can really be focused. And if a school is a soccer school, we know that there is no obligation, huge obligation on the Department of Education, on us, on municipalities, everybody to provide multiplicity of courts. But we know that we only have to provide about maybe three or four soccer pitches, and that the learners there focus largely on one sporting code. That will ease the pressure of the provision of the multiplicity of courts, which in a long run, it is not sustainable, particularly in smaller communities, for the reasons I have already alluded to earlier. So that is the concept we must look at. And also going with that comes this issue of then providing professional coaches in sports who are also teachers in that specific sporting code. And this is the system I was referring to that is being applied in the U.S., where some teachers are coaches and their job, 80% of their workload is on providing sports rather than teaching the other core subjects. And to this extent, that system in their country has proved quite well, and I mean, you just have to judge by the number of champions in their nominated sporting codes, because it is not all the schools that provide for all the plethora of the sporting codes available. But the Americans are excelling in the nominated sporting codes, which the school system supports in that regard. And I think it is a model we need to consider seriously, and that the so-called physical educators be necessarily qualified coaches in a specific area and linked to the schools in that regard. So this year, ultimately, with that variation, ultimately the bargaining council must make a decision and the unions must agree so that there's no issues of favoritism and so on. The other thing linked to this is sports bursaries, which we are intending to introduce as a system, because if you consider that currently the bulk of the sports bursary, of the bursary system, is linked on academic achievement per se rather than sport competency. But you also have in the U.S. the same system. Even it's also applied in other states in Brazil like Mato Grosso. You see it in Australia as well. And where you see most world champions emerging, it is because there is emphasis on investing in the human capital and talent of the learners rather than on their academic competencies. Currently, our bursary system only provides for the academic. If you do not perform in mathematics, sorry, no funding for you. But no matter how good you are in sports, and I think this is a variation we want to bring to the entire bursary system of government, of ensuring that we look at competency in sports. Obviously, we have to tie that. You're not just going to be a sports person who can read and write. You have to also perform, but you may not necessarily excel. I mean, you may be passing with 60% or what, and when the threshold is 85% for a bursary holder, you can make it, but then you have to get out of the system because you can't perform. So I think it's a balance we have to bring, and that there must be learners who are funded and supported primarily because they are good in different sporting codes. Mm-hmm. And I think that enhanced with the coaches and the talent search we are speaking about may provide a long-term feeder system for what we said, the Junior Olympics and every other thing. I'm going to leave the other questions to my colleagues to try to respond to, particularly around the issue of conflict resolution, potential conflict resolution, Honorable Makuvel, and whether the MOU succinctly captures that. And also the key issue pertaining to the engagement with the private sector and the response of the unions in respect to the consultation process. I think these are quite key to be responded to.
Okay, well, responses. Donald, I'll come to you now. Let's just finish these responses and then I'll come to you.
Thank you very much, co-chairs, and just to deal with the matters that DG has indicated that maybe we need to succinctly look into them. Firstly, on the issue around the tensions, whether the MOU is able to address that, it does extensively, because it deals with the roles and responsibilities. You will see that in terms of the slides, it does indicate that where the role of the Department of Basic Education is and the role of sport. So there is no confusion about the roles and responsibilities. There is a slide that indicates very, very clear that if you look into schools, it is the responsibility of the Department of Basic Education. Once you talk schools. But once you talk about the selected learners, those that have been identified at the district level, then that's where the Department of Sport is coming in very, very clearly. But it does not say. That's why at another level we indicated that we've got where we work jointly around issues of teacher development, because it's very, very key, because some of the we work with federations. So if you talk about school specific, it's very, very clear that you need to work with federation. So that matter has been dealt with sufficiently. Hence, the two ministers indicated that we need to go through a consultative process thorough in terms of the planning framework that they've agreed upon. On the question of the teachers, yes, indeed, the teacher unions have been involved throughout the process, including them leading key in terms of the formation of code committees, school sport code committees. The guidelines document has been developed with them. So they've been committed throughout the process. There's no stage at which they have not been participating. And I think it's a matter that we really welcome. It's not only teacher unions that are talking about, also school governing bodies, because those are the governors at schools. They've got a very, very key, important role to play. So they've been consulted, not just consulted, they've participated in the process of developing all these documents that you are referring to. On the matter of the role of the private sector, we can report here to say that the two departments have been getting huge support. Like, for instance, as we are going towards the launch on the 5th of November, McDonald's has come quite very, very strong to support the launch itself. I must also say that Adidas is also contributing quite immensely. We have reported to say that some of the kit we could not distribute until the ministers have agreed. We've got also the Transnet Foundation, which focuses its role on providing supporting leads in rural areas specifically, not all but selected, providing equipment to those schools within that particular area, as well as building of facilities. So the Transnet Foundation. UNICEF and Total have come to support the implementation of the leagues in terms of supporting on the transport accommodation of the learners as we're moving forward. So they came up full force. Dreamfields Foundation also, they are promoting leagues, especially concentrating on those lower grades, the participation of children in schools. Mr. Price is also contributing quite immensely of going also to the rural areas and also to township areas, but not in big scale because we are starting. So as we have approached them, they are coming on board to support the establishment and ensuring that there's regular participation in the leagues. One question that was raised in the previous briefing, it was around the indigenous knowledge systems, your indigenous games, to participate, more participation of learners, not on the mainstream. That is one of the things that the two departments are looking into. The promoting of Yaksgay, Dibeke, Diketo, Indong. So it's part and parcel of the plan that we will be concentrating on. I'm not sure whether I've covered each of the areas as indicated. Thank you.
Any more responses? I'll come again for another round. Are there still responses outstanding?
Thank you, Honourable Co-Chairs. Just to clarify, I think on the issue of the coaching framework and the process of now rolling out the coach training programs for educators, there is a document which we will have to share. We will share with the House. I think it's slight oversight on our part. We should have included that as an addendum for this presentation. But we will, however, share the entire rollout process. The process itself is, in terms of the pilot of the entire coaching, the SA coaching framework, the pilot is targeting educators. So the information we put up in terms of the numbers, that is educator-specific numbers, as well as volunteers from within a school community. So I think we should have mentioned that when advertisements go out, it is for educators as well as volunteers within the school community. What we're acknowledging is that in a school, there may be educators that may not be, I don't want to say able, but may not have the skills or interest in that particular code. However, within the school community, there will be volunteers. And we're saying that when these application forms go out, it will go out through education with the support of education department, and we're encouraging the school community partnerships through the governing body as well. So the Honourable Mackenzie, your question in terms of X Model Z schools and all the academies and coaches exist there. The South African coaching framework is the instrument now to coordinate all coaches in the country. The key thing about it is the accreditation system. So through this document, and we looked at the Honourable Member also asked us, how ready are we? The first process that we are currently undergoing is to work with federations in ensuring that all these training programs are fully accredited. On the project team sits Department of Education, Department of Sport, led by SASCOC, together with federations, tertiary institutions, CATSITA, SAQUA. And we are looking at recognizing these training programs through all these institutions as well as the international federations. What is happening currently, the generic training programs are ongoing currently until we can reach this process, and we are hoping that the first number of codes, it will be, we identified 14 to 16 that will be ready with their accredited training programs. And that has assisted us in identifying which codes to go with so that we're no longer going to be investing in training and then we have no idea how to use these skills or where are educators going to go with these skills. We will share the documentation and prepare to provide, again, I think when we come back, a full presentation on the entire coaching rollout plan. On the issue of Love Life, noting full well the comments by the DG on Love Life, and for clarity again, having, listened to all the issues raised by both our portfolio committees on Love Life, we've taken it into consideration. We have been working closely with Love Life to align those business plans, and their role in the coaching framework is not to deliver the coaching, code-specific coaching. We've requested Love Life to put together one module on life skills. And that is looking at HIV and AIDS awareness training. They're looking at health training and environment, all programs that they have, as a module for the training of all coaches, all trainers, and technical officials in the country. The consultant that has been working with us on this has been from the International Coaches Commission. And we've been told that this is going to be the first globally. They talk about life skills for coaches in all countries, but they've never put that as part of the training. So Love Life is going to produce this for us and provide the trainers for that module. As far as volunteers are concerned, we've tied up Love Life in terms of if events take place. We've indicated to Love Life the funding that goes to Love Life is not to host tournaments and run tournaments. That is the responsibility of sport and school code structures. Love Life will provide the volunteers, and these are volunteers that go through their training programs and the impinchi programs and groundbreaker programs. So these are because often in these events, we end up paying stipends to volunteers, and it's pretty expensive. It takes up a whole bit of the budget. We've left this to Love Life, who have now got trained volunteers to manage young people that attend our tournaments as mentors and as supporters in terms of volunteering their services there. I think as we reported at the last portfolio committee, we're saying, bear with us, we've taken all the issues into consideration and attempting to work with Love Life jointly to ensure that they are fulfilling our needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Co-Chairs. Firstly, I would like to apologize for not numbering the slides. Honorable Member will correct that in the future. In terms of the breakdown, the 300 registered schools, I would like to indicate that we can provide per province breakdown, taking into consideration that it was, the first year of implementation and it worked as a pilot, so it would not reflect the actual number of schools that we have in the whole country. But we can provide the actual breakdown per province if that could be allowed. Secondly, I would like to indicate that with the launch is a culmination of a process that was started by the task team as it has been presented. Therefore, the process leading to the launch involves all the stakeholders that were involved in the drafting of the integrated school sport plan that was led by the task team, as well as the finalization of the MOU. Therefore, the invitations that were sent out were sent to the national bodies. If we talk teacher unions, that would be the national representatives of the teacher unions at the national level, as well as the school governing bodies. So all the stakeholders were part and parcel of the process, therefore are part of those invited, including guests that were identified throughout the process that need to be part of the launch. The 600 learners that we've spoken about, those are learners that are going to be demonstrating different sporting codes. So it's not reflecting from each and every province. We wanted to put together a demonstration on different sporting codes, as we've indicated, as part of the program, so that when we launch the school sport program, then we're able to, with federations to say, these are the sporting codes that are part and parcel of the program. So they're there for only the purposes of demonstrating to the audience. The issue of time frames that has been raised, the MOU had its own time frames in terms of when things would be, taking place. And it will be signed on Saturday, as you said, on the 5th of November. So that's the actual end. And the task team's duty is also ending on Saturday, unfortunately, for those who have served in the task team, because we've already put in place a plan of what is going to transpire beyond the MOU with the integrated school sport planning framework that we have. Therefore, beyond that, then the task team will not exist, because it was just put together for the purposes of actually driving the drafting of the implementation of the planning framework, as well as facilitating the actual signing of the MOU. So beyond that, there will be no work for the task team. There is a question that has been asked around the school sport leagues, which are those four codes. The codes that we've started with, as ETG indicated, that we are going to increase the codes as per in each and every year. This year we're focusing on netball, football, rugby and cricket in terms of the school sport leagues. Then next year we are going to include other two codes, so that at the end of the day we're able to get all other codes implemented in schools. I think I've covered some of the questions. Oh yes, the last one, co-chairpersons.
the sport calendar, the one-year sport calendar that we've drafted, yes, it is inclusive of learners living with disability as well as gender sensitive, because each and every code we've indicated that they need to be able to cover the issues of gender and the issues of disability as well as the mainstream. Thank you.
Thank you. Then Professor Singh and Dr. Temer.
Yes, there are still some questions that have not been answered, which I would suggest that they be answered. There is a question on the SA Legend asked by Honorable McKenzie. Why are they not being included? And also on the question asked by the Honorable Dube on the criteria for selecting invitees for the launch, how were they selected? Let me now respond to the question by Honorable Makubele with respect to the task team that has been, the joint task team that has been working on preparing the calendar as well as the plan. Yes, indeed, that task team's life will come to an end when the MOU gets signed. However, there are mechanisms for joint mechanisms within the department, a standing committee that would work on overseeing the school sports program for the entire duration of the MOU as provided for. Such and that would not necessarily compromise what we say, and the assurance you say you need, indeed, yes, the MOU covers conflict resolution areas and would be able, if we all stick to what the MOU say, we shouldn't necessarily have intra-departmental conflict in terms of the management aspects.
Excuse me, the MOU does speak to the conflict resolution. But if something happens, what mechanisms do you have in place? Because these are human beings and crashes can happen.
Yes, indeed. I think the issue, like any other contract, is that it refers to the IGR setup of our country. As the two departments and ministries, we are compelled by law to follow a specific conflict resolution mechanism as it is outlined in the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act. And where we disagree, we would have to declare a formal dispute and refer that dispute accordingly as prescribed by the regulations that accompany the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act. So the courts will be the last end where all mechanisms have not necessarily managed to yield results. We do not hope that it will ever reach there because the mechanisms as prescribed by the Act are quite succinct on what is expected of each of us to do.
Would that not involve reshuffling the ministers?
No, thank you very much. That is why there is policy. Because beyond an MOU can be signed by the two ministers. But we, as we have indicated in the presentation, that a policy will be published for public comment so that it can be able to regulate school sport properly in the country. Yes, indeed, there will be, when we talk about a task team, it does not say that the two departments would not be meeting regularly, because as we are indicating that some of the issues are cross-cutting, which requires therefore that we needed to meet regularly. As I think you saw the approach in the last two presentations, that the two departments are coming, both of them, in order to respond comprehensively on issues of school sport. But just to indicate the question around physical education, what we have done as a progress matter is that one is that the minister has ensured that in the timetable of schools it should appear as physical education, because that affects post provisioning of a school. So that we manage the issue of the nomenclature. Previously, we used to report and say physical education is part of life orientation, but now it is a standalone subject. Now, in relation to the issue of training of teachers on physical education. The process has started. We have trained up to this far 319 educators on accredited course, and we are partnering with the Matthew Conway School of Leadership in order to provide research. We are also partnering with higher education institutions. We have developed a comprehensive, we've costed a plan to ensure that more teachers are trained on physical education, so that we can be able to submit to the department to say this is what we envisage. So there is a plan that is costed that we have provided to the department for consideration. Beyond it being part and parcel of the CAPS program of the department. Thank you. Professor Sif?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to touch on two issues. One is the legends and the other is facilities. In terms of the legends, with the SA coaching framework, the bands of people that human resources would be used to develop capacity, one is clearly a community stream, the other is an education stream, as an example, and the third stream would be those people in mainstream sport, in club sport, and professional sport, etc. But if I come back to the community stream, all available human resources in that stream, so certainly legends would be that community stream as an example, they would have to be trained in terms of the coaching framework. They will be capacitated, but several of them do have qualifications as well, so they will be taken into account in assisting with coaching. The issue of facilities, I would just like to add in terms of what our DJ has covered. The department has developed norms and standards for the planning, the construction, and the maintenance of facilities nationwide. So these norms and standards are being rolled out to municipalities through our Director of Facilities. Because we are a year into this process, we have not covered every possible municipality, but there is a plan and there is progress in the past 1 year. As part of the norms and standards, all facilities would have to comply with the norms, obviously. So if you're building a tennis court, as an example, that whoever's doing it doesn't end up with a swimming pool, that they follow the specifications, there are guidelines for those facilities. There are also bills of quantities which are updated annually. So it's easy for any entity intending to construct a facility to cost out what they intend spending, but also what the maintenance implications are. With regards to facilities also, for the first time, our facilities directorate has come up with a framework for the provision of facilities nationally. What we previously spoke about, a national facilities plan, we are not yet there, because we must be clear when we speak about a national facilities plan, what is it that we are ending up with? Provinces have been asked to do a plan in respect of their provinces, and once provinces do an audit in terms of what they have, what their needs are, and what they intend building in future in terms of their needs, together with the municipalities, then we as a national department can consolidate that information into a database and make that available and provide guidance and oversight as a national department. So that's a plan overall in terms of facilities. The issue of sharing of facilities is a concept which is well explained and dealt with within the context of the norms and standards document. I think the concept is a good one, and clearly it touches on how facilities issues can be addressed in rural areas as well. In that regard, the department is involved over and above the information given at the moment. It may not be an answer to all the shortages of facilities in the country, but there are different initiatives in terms of provision of facilities, particularly in rural areas and disadvantaged areas. For example, through the German government, there's youth program against violence in sport. And through that, the basis of that is to construct multipurpose facilities, but the aim is not facilities. The aim is violence prevention, violence reduction. But it is done through the construction of multipurpose sport facilities. There are other initiatives as well, for example, with the Sports Trust, where we roll out facilities in real deep rural areas where there's nothing available at all. But these are few and far between. We have to understand that. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, on the issue of the criteria used for the invitation of people to the school's launch, the school's launch is an event in Gauteng for a few hours to mark the ceremonial signing of the MOU, and it is largely a media event and to publicize it, and I mean, you know, it's a public awareness event. The members or the people that have been invited have been stakeholders in school sport that have been on the list of both Department of Education and Department of Sport, and it includes also sponsors that have been working with both departments, agencies that have been working with both departments, and largely the sporting fraternity. From government, it's been both the portfolio committees as well as the NCOP. So it's lists that we have both Department of Education and Department of Sport that we have been using. The area that was selected in terms of Soweto and the schools are primary schools, largely because this is exam time. It's high schools that are currently engaged in exams, so it's primary schools that have been targeted, and it's learners in schools from close by, noting full well that it's exam time. We have not invited learners from other provinces as well, because it's on a Saturday morning, and for any, you know, have learners traveling as well is going to take up school time. So we said to mark the occasion, this is what's going to be happening. The programs that are delivered is what will be delivered to all learners throughout the country. And it includes provincial departments, MECs, heads of department, as well as officials from provinces as well. Thank you.
Sorry, members, we need to move on because there are some other issues which also need to deal with, except this one. I've got Donald, I've got Honorable Mushwana, Auskina, Honorable Dudley.
Yeah,
is that the sharp? Because there are other issues also.
Chairperson, shortly. You know, there was an entity formed to help the development of sport in this country, and that entity is called the Lotto. And we didn't speak about the Lotto this morning. We spoke about Mr. Price and all these things. But the biggest money, if they can roll over 8 billion rand, and this happened 2 years ago, it is really a sin that we don't have facilities and they have that rollover chairperson. What are we going to do to really engage Lotto to have a dedicated percentage for sport in South Africa, chairperson?
I just wanted to say we're meeting with Lotto and with Trinidad Industry tomorrow. I think we are going to raise those issues there. Can we have Honorable Mushwana, Honorable Gina, and then Honorable Dudley?
So thank you, Co-Chairperson. Just some follow-ups. You see, as they gave their responses, they spoke of, I don't know whether it was an example or something, swimming pool and tennis courts in the same, at the same vicinity might be a challenge if I got it correctly. But I wanted to challenge this because there is need for swimming pools in all our schools to put the shall I say the black face also in the swimming. Where you have never seen swimmers as blacks because they are not swimming pools. And since the dawn of democracy, people moved from the places where they stayed near the rivers. They are in their townships or in these villages where they get water from the farms. Therefore, some of them, these learners, have never seen a swimming pool. Therefore, they need it so that when we talk of facilities, we have to include swimming pools so as to change the so that we must have both Sakani and not necessarily Lee as people who participate in swimming in later life. And
I understand launching, you're launching to be GP specific. That is because of the nearness and because it's exams time, so you choose Gauteng province. But that may be a little bit misleading because launching can be done anyway. I think we can agree on that. We can do it anywhere and do it there once you go to that particular province and maybe get yourself established for some time. You can do it there so that it does not have to be a particular province all the time if we want to change this country, because that's what we want to see happening at this particular level. And the fact that you now have other companies joining Love Life, one would say that Love Life has a history. I remember it was always Love Life coming to schools, and now as you have more and more of these, I don't know the other companies that you're talking about, and of course those who started teaching maybe 4 years back when some of us left teaching, might tell you that Love Life was very much consistent, and Love Life can be trusted with this, because they've done it during those times of want. I realize that a lot of people now. Yeah, and I think those were the ones that I wanted to talk about and to applaud that you now have physical education as a standalone, because usually it was within life orientation and only teachers who really sat down and planned their things went on doing this thing during life orientation, because for sure it was included in life orientation. I know for a fact that those teachers who were very serious about it could teach the last bit work and, you know, this, you call it drill or whatever, the drum materials, they were done during life orientation. But there were teachers that really just decided to ignore that particular section. So if it's a physical education as a standalone, then I would agree with you, and in conclusion say that let's talk of educators being the ones more that are trained. Because if you cloud it with educators and volunteers, I'm talking, because now after talking, it's like we'll be having an MOU for all of us seated here. We'll like having a memorandum of understanding, you know. It's like we're talking, after this we agree on whatever. But we only want to agree that these volunteers may cause challenges, because we have to trust the educators, especially because education has been dynamic all along. Educators must keep on being trained. When something new comes on, they are trained. Therefore, I don't see why we must talk of educators and volunteers. What's wrong with educators on their own? You train them so that, like, whenever the syllabus or something changes, they are trained, these educators. So that let's look seriously on this issue of volunteers, if it's not going to cause some people to be tempted and end up in jail, if I have to say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine, I'm just requesting the specific Chairperson when it comes to presentations. Like, when you talk of these multi-purpose courts, if we simply say they are in some of the areas, can we be specific so that we know when we get out here, we can even know what is it that you are talking about? That will even assist us in our site role to know exactly where, what is it that you are talking about. When we talk of private sector building sports facilities in some of the rural areas, and when the presenter even mentioned that in a very small scale, but can we be in the position to know when you talk of that very small scale, where specifically we get those facilities? I think it will make that will be much easier for us even to make follow-ups to know if those sports facilities do cater or they are being made use of, rather than going out of the meeting saying yes, they are in some of the areas that are built, but really none of us can say where are they. So can we get to those specific, if it is possible? If it is not, they can even have the follow-up responses, but I think it's important for us to know that. But I'm a little bit worried, Chairperson, if we get a presentation and they say those multiple sports courts, yes, in the smaller communities, it's not practical for them to be built, because I know when you talk of that, most of the time when you talk of those smaller communities, that affects us, that affects the rural communities, because most of them, that is where we talk of those small communities, is what is it that we have in place so that those people can be catered for. Lastly, Chair, I like to pose a question to the Department of Education. Yes, we applaud that physical education will come back as a subject, a standalone subject, but how far are we prepared? Well, how are the preparations for the educators to begin with that coming the new year next year? Are there any programs, standardized programs? What can, you know, because we can have this subject as a standalone subject, but if there is nothing that we are sure that the teachers will be doing, it can be one of the subjects that they do not implement. We have got that experience at the Department of Education. Or technology, life orientation. Most of the time, you know that we struggle. Those are the areas where the educators struggle, because there was when those subjects started, there was nothing clear as to say what is it that they need to do. I'm just thinking of this physical education. Yes, the period comes. What is there for the teacher to do? Or we just find them getting out of class, running around the school, and the teacher will be satisfied and saying, yes, we have done this for the physical education, if we can get the clarity. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Co-Chairs. It's just two areas that I didn't get clearly, and they may well have been said, and I just didn't pick up on it. The one is with the life skills training program, and what will be the process in terms of approving that training program, and how transparent is it going to be? Will public and parents get a chance to have a say in terms of the content, etc.? That can be a pretty contentious area in terms of love life's history and what people associate with them. And then I'm not too clear on how it will work out if training for teachers is voluntary. Is it? Did I get that wrong? Or will all teachers be trained for, because, you know, voluntary, then will the voluntary voluntarily trained teachers get remunerated for the coaching? And if not, how many are likely to take on extra responsibility and hours? And what will the incentives be in that area? Because it seems a little hazy for me. Thank you.
I think members are now starting to boil now, because now the hands are just going up and up, but we must finish here and do some other work as well. This is not the last meeting, members. We are still going to meet and engage with these two departments. But let me give Honorable Van der Linde, Honorable Dube, Honorable Hanyako. Straight to the point. If you go long, I'll cut you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, most of the things are covered. I've always got a problem with the four codes, in this case, rugby, netball, soccer, cricket. But I know there's athletics. I see in the program there's volleyball, there's gymnastrada. So why saying four codes? Training is going to be for 16 codes. Isn't it important that we not specifically stay with the four codes? We 17 years in the new democracy, and we can't just give to four codes. I mean, there's other codes also. Mustn't we make sure that every code gives us every year what they do for development of our children? Because all children is not going to excel in rugby, netball, cricket, and soccer. There's children that excelling, that can excel in other codes also from the rural areas. So we must get the plan for each code, what they do, what progress are they they've got in for every year in developing developing our kids. I've been last year to Argentina, and it's actually good to see. They've got, in every small area, they've got a small, like a tennis court, and that is where the training is done for most of the codes, soccer, volleyball, handball, and all those type of things. And then they've got fewer big fields. And that's why Argentina's soccer is so good, because they, in every small area, they've got a court where people is playing soccer or people is playing volleyball and so on. Mustn't we start moving to that? And it's going to be cheaper to get in every community a small field where they can play what they choose to play, and then there's bigger fields for the other things. So that's the only comment. The other things has been said. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Dube.
Chairperson, I just want to ask this small question. It's happening in my community. I want to check with education and sports around sports facilities that have been sold to either certain sporting codes, whereby those sporting codes will make schools to pay when they want to use those facilities. The reason why I asked about who's been invited and where who are the people who attend meetings with you is because it's happening in municipalities. In Tshwane, it is happening. The Lucas Moribe Super Stadium, Mamelodi, HMPJ, and the Smolanyana areas. I just want to check, what are you doing around that area? Thank you, Chairperson.
I
just want to make a plea for the inclusion of the, what shall I call them, indigenous cultural games. I can give examples that in the past were seen as barbaric. So I don't know, I don't have the list, I don't know what you mean when you say the way you have all these games, but it's just a plea. When you do this, please think about those ones that were prohibited in the past. If you were a chief goer and you also go and dance with Dinaga, then they say, no, you can't have the Holy Communion because you're participating in something of that sort. So I'm just making a plea for those of you who are interested in both, maybe interested in, you know, football, but at the same time you want to do some boxing, not the Western way, but the real traditional way of boxing. I don't know. Thank you.
I think the DG did speak about these indigenous games and what. Yes. Let me also just add, I just want to know the issue of monitoring and evaluation. In which department would that reside? Then, these 3,000 schools, I think DG, both departments have heard that. Members are very concerned about the rural areas. And when we speak here, we are rural bias. Because these things always just go to Gauteng, Cape Town. And that is a problem to us. These 3,000 schools which have been identified, are there some rural schools in that 3,000 schools? The 16 federations which we have talked about, which federations are those? I think it's some slide somewhere. There is something about 16 federations. I can't get the slide now, but somewhere there. Then, how is this school sport plan aligned to the national sports plan? What is the other issues? The issue of public works and agriculture. Public works is responsible for infrastructure. Are they on board on this? Agriculture, we speak about nutrition. Why do they fit in this whole thing? Because many times, departments don't speak to each other while they need each other here to deliver the necessary service. Thank you. I think you also want you on the line, you just.
Thank you, Chair. I can see that there's a lot of passion for sports. Now, just to respond to the first issue, the issue about the lotto funds, our minister, together with the portfolio committee, is meeting also with the DTI today to look into this issue, amongst others. We want to lobby strongly in respect of money related to sports development and how it should be channeled and utilized for purposes of sports development largely.
The same can be said also about the MIG grants that are being sent to municipalities. In the poorer municipalities, the quota for the MIG for sports infrastructure is always compromised, and somehow money is channeled to building houses and roads and so on, and not necessarily sporting facilities. And it is a concern the ministry shares, and which we as a department are trying to look into addressing with particularly the struggling municipalities in this regard. So at least this issue is being given attention right now and is being attended to. The issues raised by Honorable Moshoana as it relates to availability of swimming pools in all schools, I think maybe let me re-clarify what I said in this manner. Honorable Moshoana, we are not saying we have no intention of building multiplicity of sporting facilities in the same school. All we are saying is that when we do start, countries that are quite effective, it has been shown, particularly developing countries that produce world champions consistently, are countries that follow.
Can you just close that door? There's a noise outside there.
Are countries that really follow a specialization model of having specialized schools dealing with specific codes. And those schools build experience, capacity, tradition, history, everything, and passion for a specific code. And they are then provided with world-class facilities in that school. Even with best intentions, almost all white schools have swimming pools, and yet there are very few schools in South Africa that produces good swimming champions. And so even if we were to provide all the swimming pools in all the schools, it is not necessarily on its own a guarantee that we will emerge with world champions from black schools. I think the mixture of elements is important in this regard, and it is for that reason that even while many kids in white schools are being taught how to swim, but not all schools are listed as part of the developmental aspect of Learn to Swim, as an example, supported by Telkom and so on. And you have to identify potential and also the type of facilities that are there, because it will be virtually impossible to build Olympic-sized swimming pools in all schools. It's not going to work. So the best bet would be to identify only the schools that shows the greatest potential of producing world champions and provide them with world-class facilities. Yes, all other schools may have swimming pools for recreational purposes and all that, but I think we have to look at the level at which we invest and how we use the limited resources in this regard. And on an incremental basis, you have to identify black schools that you can say these are designated schools for swimming, and that we want these schools to produce world champions, and there you then just give a swimming pool for recreational purposes, but you give a swimming pool for development and for training and for purposes of producing world champions. These kids must not see a world-class swimming pool for the first time when they go to a competition. It must be in them. It must be something that they see, and I think that is the variation of what I've been trying to say earlier in terms of segregation of where we invest resources in. Secondly, the issue of the launch in Gauteng. This is a political decision by the two ministers that we launch in Soweto. I'm sure the committee is free to engage in this regard. The issue of educators vis-a-vis volunteers, I don't think that there should really be an unnecessary competition. First and foremost, the emphasis on educators. I think they are the most reliable sets, but you simply cannot win. Sports has to be owned by the entire society, and members of the community who are interested. I mean, the school system encourages community participation in full, and to this extent, volunteers who are in the schooling system indirectly or one way or the other, in fact, even in the Model C schools as well as the private schools, you get to see they're inviting parents who are interested during a sports day or whatever
to come either to officiate or to do this or that and so on. And it is that type of involvement that has to be encouraged. And therefore, if volunteers come forth and seeks to be trained in coaching and so on, indeed it is an opportunity we must welcome to strengthen not only the school system but also the sports system and community participation in important matters and priorities of government. Let me move to the issue of the multi-purpose centers. Honorable Gina, let me clarify what we are saying in this regard. We are not saying that we shouldn't build multi-purpose courts in small or rural communities. In fact, the opposite is true. We are saying that in those communities, you may not be able to provide a big stadium. It just the investment doesn't it's not justifiable cost-wise in a community where there's 3,000 people in a small village, and you find that already 40% of those are either too young or too old to play, and your cohort of what you are targeting in that space becomes quite limited to justify that big investment. Therefore, multi-purpose community courts becomes the key solution to your challenges, because depending on the scale you want to go and on the population size and on the interests of the youth following consultation in the space, you can have a court that caters for 3 sporting codes, 5 sporting codes, sometimes up to 7, you know. So once you have that, the only limitation I was highlighting is that then those kids in that specific locality are now channeled to only play those 3 codes or those 5 codes, and those learners who may be interested in something else like soccer, they will play soccer, but it will be recreational soccer, never professional soccer, because that court allows for a 5-a-side. You know, you'll never have a full scale of the game on a 11-a-side scheme of things. And the limitations I was saying that are brought by the provision of such courts is exactly that you then can go to scale in terms of some of the things. And those kids are now channeled into a specific area vis-a-vis the kids in a city who have the different multiplicity of different courts. If I want tennis, I may choose tennis easily. If I want to do what, I may follow that path. And that is what is now a limitation in terms of rural areas and the multi-purpose courts. I'll leave the issue of the preparation for the introduction of the physical education to respond to that. But let me move and then address the issues raised by the Honorable Van der Linde. Why the 4 sporting codes, and is it really necessary just for us to focus on the 4 sporting codes? I think we start with the 4. Always start where you are the most strongest, because you have to have some quick wins to encourage yourself to go on and succeed. So we start where we are the most strongest, and incrementally this will grow to a number of sporting codes. We welcome the Argentina model. Indeed, it confirms our belief of what we are trying to do and to achieve in this regard. Specialization is the way to go in sports if you are to succeed, particularly on a feeder system, because school sports is really a basis on which you feed into later federations and where talent can be scouted and picked up. So indeed, we will grow from there. I think we will incrementally include almost all recognized sporting codes in the system. Some sporting codes, by their own nature and so on, even by their world federations, are quite small. They are also attractive because they are quite cheap to implement. Sporting codes such as Teniquet, as an example, the court is quite cheap to develop, quite small. The materials you need to play and so on are quite affordable. So we will also venture there first, because it allows us in the immediate with the available resources to also expand and to grow on the sporting codes with ease, and the ability and the fastness with which the courts or the playing courts can be provided in communities becomes easy if you follow that. There are obviously
sporting codes that are quite necessary but also very expensive to implement. What Honorable Mushwana raises, for instance, an Olympic size swimming pool, you will not find one for less than 2.5 million. So it is quite expensive vis-a-vis a 30,000 rands for a 10-acre court. You know, so this I'm saying that you have to balance and to look at what you face in first, based on the available resources right now and the reach at which you can reach within limitations that are there. Let me move to the issues raised by the Honorable Dube on the privatization of facilities. I think it is a painful thing, but I think municipalities are faced with a hard choice. Burning pressures in respect of their expectations of national department of provincial and local government, as well as provincial departments, and the conditional grants that municipalities are receiving in this regard. The challenges here are that greater emphasis on the prioritization of municipalities and great premium is placed on social infrastructure, which ideally sports infrastructure must be part of, but that social infrastructure has really been limited largely to electricity supply and provision, housing, water reticulation, bulk infrastructure in terms of bucket eradication and sewage provision things, and lastly roads. This is a big challenge, because while social infrastructure is emphasized, some aspects of economic infrastructure is not being provided largely by municipalities, as well as sports infrastructure. These are seen more as luxuries than priorities, and where infrastructure already exists, the maintenance of that infrastructure is a great challenge, and it is a notion that needs to be challenged openly, but I think we have to engage constructively with municipalities and understand the idea of grading municipalities in different categories in terms of not their levels, but in terms of sports facilities they possess and their ability to maintain those sports facilities becomes key, because some municipalities are faced with a choice. Either they leave a facility to grow to gross dilapidation because prioritization of its resources in terms of budget is elsewhere in the priorities I've highlighted vis-a-vis what we are asking them to do, and they are then forced to say, we rather privatize and the municipality makes some money and the facility is done. And also historical and legacy issues, I'm sure members are aware. The democratic government also inherited a huge burden from facilities, particularly the major ones, which had already been privatized even before the democratic government came through. And today, I think that has set the ability for government to really run development of sports backwards, because the costs of accessing the facilities are quite exorbitant for any development purposes. And government is then left to reel with secondary infrastructure and also with non-equipped infrastructure to do what it's expected to do in terms of sports development. Because here it's a bottomless pit. Money goes in, it doesn't come back. And the bigger facilities are the spinners of money, and this will be the first to be taken by the private sector. And I think this is an issue of prioritization and budgeting that largely is beyond us because of the constitutional mandates. And I think because we have little say in terms of what municipalities do with their own infrastructure. Like I said, and as Professor Singh highlighted, we have issued guidelines in terms of infrastructure to municipalities and so on. The enforcement is a big challenge. Legally speaking, we stand on a very thin ice in terms of ensuring that can be achieved. Let me address the issue of assure Honorable Khanyago that the indigenous sporting codes will be included would be supported actively. And I think also in terms of our priorities and on promoting of sports tourism,
You see that countries like Mongolia, they have for years been having indigenous games, and each year they attract millions of people just to come see people riding horses and so on. And there's also the Japanese who still have the samurai shooting competitions and all those things, and you see quite a lot of tourism being spun from that. I think we have a great opportunity, and with indigenous games, particularly those that are quite unique to South Africa, but if we have a proper league and a proper investment in them, it will help. I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that they were launched nationally and they collapsed, they were launched again, they collapsed. I think the model had been quite crooked. The commitment really is to take it from the grassroots, and once you have the learners playing that and emerging as good sports people in those, and the incentives for them to enter into the sporting codes, and you then professionalize, and I think this is what over the last two or so years professionalization of the sports had begun. And once you have the councils, the technical officials and every other thing doing the work, it becomes quite easy that you then can develop professional champions who play largely here, because chances of them growing greater to even become an Olympic sport are doubtful, because you just have to see, even on the grand scale the Chinese are playing some of these games, you still don't achieve the same thing. The questions raised by the chair on MNE, I think the key issue is that on the part where we are responsible as sports and recreation, we have an internal MNE process, as well as education have their own internal MNE process for that. However, we do joint monitoring and evaluation on the joint responsibilities we share in respect of this. And obviously, the oversight role that the committees and this joint committee play in this respect becomes quite key in ensuring that the targets are indeed met. The issue of public works for infrastructure purposes as well as agriculture, whether we're engaging with this, I think the consultations are on really on a wide scale. We intend not just to engage with this, even health has a great role to play, particularly in terms of the actual execution of the events and the services that needs to be provided in this regard. Municipalities also play a great role also with their EMS services and police in terms of the security provision for the major tournaments and all that. So the engagements will become continuous. Ultimately, our view is that we will also have a broad forum, but remember that in the district sports councils we relate to, we encourage all these multi-sectoral corporations to be formed at that level to make sure that all parties are already represented even at that early stage. I'll leave the other questions for my colleagues to respond to.
Can we just go straight to the point, because we are pressed for time? I'm not...
Thank you, Co-Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to agree with Honourable Mushwana in terms of the involvement of educators and the focus of training that should be directed to them. That is what the actual plan is speaking to in terms of training, because we understand the actual role that the educators will play and the investment that we'll be making in terms of training them for the rollout of sporting schools. Secondly, Honourable Gina, I would like to assure you that the preparations for physical training implementation and the training of educators has been done in foundation phase, intermediate phase, as well as senior phase. We've aligned the training of educators according to the CAPS document, and the documents are available, probably will provide to the committee if there is a need. As it covers what aspects should be covered by educators and when, and as well as the assessment thereof, because we believe physical education, if it's just activity, it becomes just activity, but if you can be able to assess it, and if educators are clear about what to assess, and also the milestones, then it then assists them a big deal. We spoke about the Medico Niwe School of Leadership that will be providing ongoing training for the educators, so it's not going to be once-off. We are starting off with the training of the CATS, and then we are going to be following up as a department, as well with the assistance of Medico Niwe School of Leadership in terms of dealing with the challenges as it has been agreed to. I also agree with you, Honourable Gina, that the use of life orientation in the past, the LO4 that was dealing with physical education, has not assisted us a big deal. Hence the move to have physical education as a standalone
and us trying to actually assist educators in terms of rolling it out. LO4 was really not taken by educators the way that we wanted them to. So in this instance, we are trying to deal with those challenges in that way. Just one on the issue of the 3,000 schools, whether it's targeting rural districts. Yes, it does. Just to mention the few districts that were piloting the program to actually check the development of the strategy that we have developed in terms of the leagues and also putting it into a program. We have Mkanyagude, which is one of the districts in KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Ilembe in Stenga, that is KZN. We've got Tharisibande in Mpumalanga, Vembe district in Limpopo, and Katatu in the Eastern Cape. Those are few districts that we've targeted just to test the strategy that it works, and then when we build on it, then at least we are able to get some developments and shape the strategy in a manner that we'll be able, because if we are able to do it in the rural areas in a programmatic way, then you also get the understanding that in other areas where there are less challenges in terms of infrastructure and other things, then the strategy is really going to work. Within the MOU, we've spoken about the joint committee that will be appointed by the minister as soon as they sign the MOU. That's the committee that will be assisting in terms of monitoring and evaluation of the programs, because we've got joint responsibilities and then we've got separate responsibilities as departments. So it is that committee that is comprising of officials from both departments, as well as the school support coach, which is comprising of educators, will be able to assist us in terms of ensuring that our responsibilities as departments are actually rolled out on the ground, and also monitor the plans that we've developed and put forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Desmond, please short, because really we are running out of time.
Thank you, Chair. Just very briefly, the launch, in fact, the DG is correct to say that it was a political decision, but it was not taken arbitrarily. It was the political principles were advised when we looked at various prospects. We looked at Mpumalanga, Northwest, KZN, as well as Gauteng. We look in Gauteng, it was Pretoria, it was Johannesburg, it was the University of Pretoria, it was a stadium as well in Mamelodi. So we had to look at a variety of basket of activities, but in terms of the feasibility, we had to advise to say this is the one that we think, on the back of what we want to achieve, this is the one that we want to go with. And I should also underscore the fact that the launch, it's not a media spectacle. It's a very fundamental communication outlay to the public to say school sports is here, please support it, so that parents as well can be able to allow kids to participate. Corporates can be able to see that it's a new gear. I should underscore, Chair, that this particular project is an epic project for the two ministers. You know, it is even part of their performance as well. So it's a very, very important project. So I thought I should in fact underscore that. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. The issue of the life skills in terms of the coaches framework, that is an accredited program. When it is being drawn up, it is going to go through the process of SACWA and CATSETA as well. So that will be accredited. The payment of educators as coaches, at this point we've not got that far, because part of this, I think, the undertaking in terms of educators is what are their core responsibilities as well. But within the coaching framework, I think what we've been looking at are full-time coaches, part-time coaches, and volunteer coaches. And this still has to be mapped out in terms of who gets funded and where. I think the challenge also is in delivering an entire school sport program and the funding challenges. It would be dangerous to raise hopes at this point in time. The first thing is to get the system in place and get the system working. And that is going to be more important. On the number of codes, the 16 codes, there are two waves of federations in terms of preparedness and readiness for accreditation. The first wave was 14 and the second wave was 18. When we had the meeting 2 weeks ago with federations to test readiness, we handed out, together with SASCOC, audit forms. and these are already due now. And we said we will not announce the federations yet. We would look at, because there were some in the second wave that are already, we noticed already. So we will announce that by the 18th of November when the conference takes place, because the audit is currently being conducted on that. The alignment of this entire program with the sport plan, the SRSA sport plan, the school sports frame, integrated framework was done as part of that. So it fits into the sport plan as well. Thank you.
It's been covered, Mr. Chipper.
Okay. Can we give to Honorable Malchus to round up so that the portfolio sports and recreation and the department will just go to M201 to deal with these other issues which we need to deal with. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. I think number one, when it comes to the Department of, the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, I don't think there was an invitation, so members should know that. Then when it comes to your audit, let me not speak to the audit, let me speak to finances. I think the important question was asked on the finances to roll out this process, which we take is in the piloting stage. So I think it will be very important that we do receive the costing, that we know exactly how much should it be. Then when it comes to the audit of facilities, the zoning of areas for sports fields, the involvement of the municipality and their role. I think once we have this audit, and even when it comes to the norms and standards, I think it norms and standards will be for the provisioning of facilities. That will be important for us as the committee to know, even if we get it in writing. Then when it comes to disaggregated data, because if people are interested in the spread, you gave us a bit of a spread, but people would like to know where everything is. So the disaggregated data will be for the 3,000. And then when it comes to the coaching, where you speak about coaching, I think that has to be disaggregated. And the department's got 319 teachers. So that is going to be important. Then the integrated school sports plan, that we are supposed to have. And what I would like to, what I think sports and recreation have to think about when it comes to, like we speak about the sports bursaries, the way it's done, in the countries overseas, etc. We have to see how to link up with the new the amendment, that Bela amendment we had, because within that amendment act, it was passed about, I think, 3 months ago in Parliament, with the department do speak about specialized schools, where they're going to have schools for sports only, etc. Then I won't speak to the guideline, but you spoke about the integrated approach. And I think it's going to be important to look at other departments' programs, because when it comes to health, health is becoming health-wise. And I heard the KFC or McDonald's will be part of the program. Persons speak to, healthy lifestyle. And I think the health department is going to push that in the future. Because we have a lot of obese youngsters, and we have to sort out that in South Africa. No, they do bring money, but the people look at health too. Because we don't want a sports person advertising cigarettes, and even a sports person drinking, and they look so well, and we know what happens when it comes to drinks. Indigenous games, we still need a report on that. Your coaching rollout plan and your MOU, because I think it's important that we as a committee know what is there, not the small snatches we're hearing about. And I want to speak to the policy. But then I noticed, like, we had a policy in place at 2009 one, because I want to say we're putting the cart before the horse, but I see the horse is drawing that cart. And then we got the field because I was wondering, you know, when it comes to foundation phase, how did it fit in? But now you have to get social development. Because look, we got grade naught. Grade naught is not education. Grade R is education. So I think you have to look at the department as integrated. Education, early childhood development plan. How do that fit in? We have social development. What I'd like to do now, I'd like to thank, you know, the Joint Committee that's present here today, and even the department, because when it comes to sports, everyone is excited about it because we know what are the spin-offs. When it comes to children, like I come from sports too, so we know what's the spin-offs, what sports can do, you know, things like that. And, you know, and we know every child has a potential to sport. That is important, and that we have to develop. And, you know, and where do we specialize and where don't we specialize? Are you going to start your specialization when it comes to sport? I'd like to thank the department. Yes, I have to thank you because I think you did a good job to try and bring in the short space of time over to us what is happening, and I think that is important. And it was your very first day today, and that is so important. And we do have, like, I think Kojani, Mr., is acting deputy DJ today here in this meeting. And we have a DG, deputy DG of education. When it comes to the members, I think you participated fully, and you know, you really made the whole meeting very interesting. Although it took a bit long afterwards, because there's still other work to do. But you know, when it comes to members, they like speaking. It's our job to speak. And what I would like to say, like as I said earlier on, Sports and Recreation Committee will be going around the corner. There's a committee room on the side.
No, we're going to M201.
Oh, M201, second floor. Just hold on, don't move. And then when it comes to education, you're going to remain behind because we still have our minutes to sort out. And then afterwards, we'll give another instruction what's going to happen. Thanks a lot, Nick. I think I didn't sleep well last night because I'm so irritable.
No, I